and welcome to the MotoGP podcast. This is our first ever episode today, coming to you from Barcelona, Spain. And this is a new series we'll have throughout 2019 and the season, starting, of course, our first episode is on the Sepang test.
But this is a brand new feature series coming at you every single week, released every Thursday for the rest of the season. We're coming at you with two formats, this one being the first, which will be a post-GP or event podcast. We'll be reviewing everything that's happened, some feature interviews, some quotes from riders, and then of course we also have, for the weeks in between, to keep whetting your appetite, we'll have some feature interviews as well.
We will indeed. We've got some feature interviews with the likes of Freddie Spencer, Wayne Gardner, Mick Doohan. There's a whole host of names, and in between you'll be able to get a real in-depth look at those guys, legends of the sport, based on all different kind of topics, and some of them just one rider, maybe a few, asking them about their rivalries, Schwantz and Rainey, for example. But yeah, there'll definitely be plenty for you to listen to, even when we don't have a Grand Prix.
But what's on today? Well, as we said, we're talking all things the Sepang test, the first outing for MotoGP in an official capacity for the first time in 2019. But first of all, let's talk about some pre-season news. This podcast is being recorded on the Monday before it's released, so we've had up to this moment 6 team launches. We will have a 7th this week before this is actually released, KTM. But we've had 6 so far: Honda, Suzuki, Ducati, Yamaha, and the brand new Petronas team.
First of all, let's start with the first team that actually revealed their liveries this season, which were Ducati. And that started us off with quite a bang, actually. The Borgo Panigale factory coming out with a new team name, new title sponsor, and quite a different looking livery.
Yeah, back to true, completely pure, almost blood red now. I think personally it looks absolutely gorgeous. Of course, following a little bit the line of the Ferrari F1 team with the mission Win Now, or Winno, whatever your pronunciation is, that is the title sponsor of the team. Now, that was probably the biggest change bar Yamaha this season. Yamaha now becoming Monster Energy Yamaha MotoGP, and it's had a bit of a mixed reception, some people, with that livery. I personally think it looks gorgeous. I'm a big fan of something wildly different, and that is the biggest change that they've had, since 2013, I would say?
Yeah, definitely for quite some time. I think it's a nice looking bike, yep, definitely. And I think it's also pretty interesting when anything like that changes, and also obviously that change has gone throughout the team wear and everything in that team, kind of a rebrand, obviously, with that new title sponsor of Monster Energy, which is proving quite a challenge so far for those of us that write about the sport to not write Monster Energy and then the name of the team from last year. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good change. Like you say, it's always nice to see refreshments in those liveries sometimes. But I think also it maybe brings us on now to Honda, who actually
lack of refreshments.
Absolutely the same. Now, I'm going to say straight off that it is my favourite livery, and it kind of always has been since it turned up. I just really like it. My favourite colour's orange. Nothing to do with any sort of team loyalties or anything like that. I'm very unbiased, but I really like the look of that bike. So part of me, although it's always exciting to see a change, is pretty excited to have seen that classic remain on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, you and me have talked about it privately before. I'm a little bit of a different. I like something that's different. I must admit, don't fix what ain't broke. Yeah, with Repsol, I would have personally liked to have seen a bit of a different livery, maybe a throwback in their 25th anniversary back to 1994. I did actually think that was going to happen. Lorenzo and Marquez put on their Insta stories in the morning, a change of team gear, a more navy blue look. I thought, yes, this is going to be it. And no, it was exactly the same. I was a little bit disappointed, but on the other hand, you do have some other teams. Again, don't fix what ain't broke. Suzuki looks lovely again this year. Slight change in the graphics, but nothing too major. But of course, the newest thing that we have this year, Petronas Yamaha. Oh my goodness, that just looks so nice.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan of things like that. Just absolutely classic. One sort of main accent colour in their livery, and I just think it looks gorgeous. I've always thought that as well with the Petronas Sprinter in Moto3. It's just really, really nice. It all fits together so well. Everything looks classy, and as well, it's a lot easier to keep everything clean when everything's not white and has to look pristine. They just automatically look super smart wherever they go.
Yeah, exactly.
All the team, pit boxes, everything, absolutely gorgeous. But I really, really like that colour scheme as well.
Yeah, precisely. Well, on to the other off-season news. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about injuries. Unfortunately, it's something which we pretty much would talk about every off-season. Somewhere along the line, someone is going to have some kind of training incident, like get a little niggle in some ligament here, a dirt bike crashing there, even that's probably a cycling accident or two. But some updates on riders who were injured from last year, though. We had Tito Rabat and Cal Crutchlow back in action in Sepang, actually doing pretty well. Tito, P4 on day one, now on the GP18 Ducati. There will be no bikes on the grid that are older than from 2018. And Tito, back with a bang, said he felt no pain at all from his leg whilst he was riding, which is the positive thing. Probably lacking a bit of strength for race distance or so. Crutchlow, not quite back to full fitness. I think he was wearing a boot that was two sizes too big or something like that. That was a bit crazy. But he too, struggling in the longer runs, but fast straight from the off.
He was the last of the guys who broke Lorenzo's fastest lap from the test last year. And really, really impressive. Did over 60 laps on the final day. But he did say that at some points he was feeling a little bit worse for wear when he was getting up in the morning, and that obviously is pretty taxing after so long away and even quite a long while without being able to walk through, during the winter. So
yeah, exactly.
Impressive stuff from Cal, and was actually the fastest Honda by the end of the test. So very impressive from the Brit.
Yeah, absolute hats off to Cal. Fastest Honda by the end of the test. Of course, Marquez was also there despite the ongoing recovery of his shoulder surgery. We'll come into it more a little bit later when we actually hear from Mark, but this is of course his first time properly back on a motorcycle. There was that little publicity video from Repsol about the week before the test of him riding a little mini bike, giving the shoulder a little run out, and just the recovery process from Mark on this shoulder just sounds brutal day in day out for the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, really impressive for him to already be back and ready to ride, but maybe not everything quite as he had expected it to be at the test. But he has done this before, obviously in the 2011 off season, I believe, when he was back in Moto2. Spent most of the winter being unable to train and unable to even like see properly. Came straight back out and was the superstar of that season in the intermediate class. So it remains to be seen how much of an effect it has once we do actually go racing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll return to that a little bit later with a little bit more detail, because the story of Marquez's off-season, I mean, there's a reason why some of us are talking on podcasts and commentary box. We're not actually having a go at the sport that we love talking about so much, because we are just simply not hardcore enough or talented. I mean, there's two main factors there. But what was the biggest off-season news, Fran, though? I think it's got to be his teammate Lorenzo. Unfortunately, got himself injured in a dirt biking accident. Not said this specifically with Lorenzo so much, but how many times have we said that in a training incident on a dirt bike, someone gets injured? It did spark up that debate again on social media. But talk to us about Lorenzo.
It was pretty bad luck, it seems, for Lorenzo. He said he just didn't see a patch of mud when he was training, and then he's damaged his scaphoid and broken that. So it can be a bit of a difficult injury, that one. But so far, he says the recovery's going pretty well, and all signs are pointing to a return for the five-time world champion at the Qatar test. So now we're going to hear a little bit from Lorenzo when he spoke to you after the flag via phone, and see what he has to say about the injury and the season ahead.
I'm pretty good. I'm still in the main process of recuperation from my injury on the wrist. So it's not a simple injury, for sure. It's quite complicated, and the scaphoid is always a difficult bone. But recovery is going pretty fast, and I'm quite satisfied about that. 3 or 4 days ago, I already started to swim a little bit on the pool. Every day, we are gaining some degrees in my wrist and also power. Every day, I feel stronger. But obviously, the nature is the nature, no? And this kind of injuries requires at least 1 month to really feel well. And we are now more or less in the day 17, day 18 after the operation. So still quite long process to finish, maybe half of it, but I'm sure in Qatar test probably I will not be 100%, but I will be quite able to write and take some information for the engineers just very close to the first race. Difficult to know how I will feel when I arrive in more than 300 k's per hour in the straight, and I had to brake and to stop that MotoGP bike. Difficult to understand, and also in the change direction, but as I told you, no, the recuperation is going, I think, faster than the normal cases. So this is a good sign. And still we have 15 or 14 days to Qatar. So still long, lot of days to get better. And that's the good thing. But I think, obviously, this injury, I will have some little pain, also in after 2 months, after 3 months. But I think I will be able to be competitive in the first race.
Well, thank you very much there for Jorge Lorenzo for actually joining after the flag all the way from his home in Lugano. Looked like he had quite a lot of visitors over that day. I think the new Spanish broadcaster went and paid him a visit too, doing some, I thought it was arm wrestling to begin with, but clearly some more stretches to do with a skateboard and whatnot. But
that well-known popular TV feature where you head over to someone's house and arm wrestle them.
Especially when they've got a broken skateboard.
Absolutely.
we'll hear a little bit more from Lorenzo later, because it was about near enough a 10-minute odd interview. Some real key insights there. We'll hear more from him a little bit later. But next up, we're going to be hearing from our man on the ground in Sepang, pit lane reporter, 500cc Grand Prix winner, all-round good egg, Simon Crafar. He was the man on the ground up and down pit lane in that sweltering heat. And here are his key points from the test.
Hello, everyone. This is Simon Crafar. I'm actually still in Sepang recording this right after all the bikes have stopped going around and we've finished our show. And while things are fresh in my memory, I want to run through how this test went and what were the key things that I saw for those of you that weren't here. So, you know, when I first turned up here, the standout thing that hit me first of all was how much work KTM had done over the winter period, because it was the only bike that was dripping in new parts. You know, without exaggeration, they're throwing a huge effort, and apparently they've shipped 17 tons of equipment here. Some of it sea freight earlier, the rest air freight, and there was frames, swing arms, aero packages, different fairing seat units, exhausts, you name it. I mean, that's only the stuff we can see, you know. So obviously there's engine updates and electronics on top of that, you know, who knows what else. Team manager confirmed all of this, by the way. So we're not just Mike Leitner, the main man there. He confirmed all of these things that I'm listening now. So that was the really standout one from the start. The Hondas, of course, Mark was going fast, but he's not at 100% with that shoulder. Far from it, to be honest. He said he couldn't ride the bike the same. Weakness in his shoulder. He couldn't do long runs. Had to finish every day early. But the Honda, I think, it both looks good. They've got a lot of new parts, meaning new chassis, engine updates, electronics, and aero packages, so they've really done their homework. I think they're a dark horse once Lorenzo gets on the bike and Mark is up to, you know, full fitness, Carl up to full fitness after his big break. It's going to be really competitive. I think the bike's going to be right there. But yeah, the standout things were the Ducatis, you know, how fast they were, the volume of things, parts they're throwing at it. But yeah, first day, everyone was settling in, and the big thing was they couldn't throw too many things at the riders with before they got up to speed. So, you know, even the rookies were quite surprising, especially Quartararo on the first day and second day. Okay, let's click over to second day. Then we started really seeing them putting some aero package on. Rossi tried the aero package, the new one on the Yamaha. It's two wings now rather than one. It's like the original, well, the first wing, and then the second one is at a different angle, more steep. So visually, the Yamaha was no different the whole test, except for that wing. I could not see any chassis or swing arm changes. I believe there wasn't. There could have been, but if there was, I missed it. They were focusing on engine updates, electronics, you know, trying to move forward on that. Suzuki were, like Yamaha and Ducati, pretty fast, straight out of the box, especially Rins. He's looking really strong for the championship, I think. And they had, yes, much of the same things: exhausts, swing arms, chassis to try, engine updates, electronics, and a new aero package, which looks very similar to the Yamaha Honda KTM now have a very similar one, and Suzuki now as well. So all of those aero packages are, you know, all steering down the same way. Cal Crutchlow surprised me from the start. It was super impressive that he's been off the bike for so long, and he got on the bike here and was fast pretty much straight away. It was, you know, months off the bike, but also a horrific injury and not the same riding fitness. He was fast, you know, like fast right through the test. He just couldn't do the long runs because of the injury and the maybe bike fitness. But I think he's going to be there right from the start of the championship. So looking over at Petronas, so the other satellite team, they've got like 2019 bikes. It's just super impressive. The only difference from Rossi's bike, Rossi and Vignali's bikes to that team, Morbidelli has the same bikes. You know, he won't be getting the same updates during the year, but they're starting with the same package. Then you look across the garage to Quartararo. He has a 2019 bike as well, but the only thing he hasn't got is carbon forks from Ohlins, and he's got 500 RPM less. All that means really is he's got the same engine, but it won't be stressed the same, so they don't have to throw as many engines at him during the season, you know. So as a rookie, if I was him, I'd be really happy, you know, coming in with that level of bike. Yeah, so I would like to finish by saying the lap times here were stunning fast, you know, like a good bit under Lorenzo's record of last year. But I would all, you know, it's going to happen, isn't it? You know, when all the bikes are better this year, they're all trying to push forward. They're only small steps forward because all the bikes were so good anyway. But the big level of machinery is more that they're all more even now. Also, Michelin brought new tyres here, and the new tyres were better. So guys were moving fast. Petrucci apparently was the only one that did his stunning lap on the last year's soft. Everyone else apparently did their time on the newer soft that Michelin brought here. And you put all that together with the, how do I put it, the track condition, because no rain for 3 days. It's raining right now. Now that it's just getting dark, test is finished. But for 3 days it didn't rain. The rubber built up on the track, and everyone was saying the track condition got better, better, better. So you put all those things together, I think what Lorenzo did here last year is stunning. And these guys have only beaten it really because of all those things I've put together, you know. And meaning machinery better, track condition better, tyres better. If you'd taken those things away, I think they probably would have matched it. Maybe Petrucci matched it, or maybe even nobody beat it, you know. We'll never know, but all I'm saying is what Lorenzo did last year was truly stunning. I'm going to stop waffling in case I'm boring you, but the exciting thing is this year is going to be the closest we've ever seen in history because of the technology is so, you know, of everyone's got, is so much more even, and the pressure on the riders because of that is going to be like it's never been. You know, you have a bad day. Remember Rossi had to have a bad, when I say bad day, a little bit average qualifying, you know, and he'd be down an eighth. We knew Rossi could come out and do it and be fighting for the podium even from there. But what I'm saying is the pressure on the riders is going to be big, because if you have a little bit of an average qualifying, you're going to be in the teens, not eighth, because even some rookies will beat you because they're having a good day and they've got the machinery. So, super exciting. I look forward to it getting started. Bye for now.
Well, thanks for that, Simon. Fascinating points there, as he mentioned. I didn't expect him to start off talking about KTM and just the sheer quantity of resources they brought. They are investing, investing, investing. They now have a satellite team as well, and it seemed to be really paying off for them. Also, I do want to bring it under talk a little bit more about the winglets that he mentioned, and a little bit how the winglets sort of design. Oh, we shouldn't really call them winglets because they're not
officially
that per se.
They are aero fairings.
The aero fairings, which they're all starting to converge into a similar style now, aren't they? I mean, you are getting some more radical changes. Ducati probably brought the most radical change about. What do you make of some of these?
I think there's some pretty interesting shapes being thrown out there up and down pit lane. But now, like you said, they are starting to converge into quite similar styles. And it seems like gradually over the course of a few seasons of trial and error, engineers are starting to converge upon some sort of agreed best way of having the compromise between obviously top speed and then I was going to say downforce. Sounds a little bit too F1 for my liking, but it is definitely that compromise. And we now have a special measuring device.
We do.
It's essentially
NASCAR style.
Exactly. I believe it is. And basically, if you can get your bike into that, then it's legal, and that is the one rule now. So making that a little bit of an easier job for those guys after so many months of having to measure each individual piece.
And speaking of other sorts of new tech, something else that sparked quite a bit of a discussion online was a little nut on the top of the triple clamp of the Ducati. A supposed talk about a hole shot device and whatnot, which like you see in Supercross to help with better starts. No confirmation of that or so. I guess we're going to hear more about that in Qatar, so we won't really go into it too much. But teams and manufacturers looking for ways to make the riders a lot quicker just straight off the start using the bike, not necessarily just the rider with some awesome clutch, starting and throttle control per se.
Yeah, definitely. I think riders like Jorge Lorenzo and Bradley Smith, if he's coming back to do a few wildcards, might be a little bit disappointed by that, because traditionally they've absolutely owned everyone for the last few seasons in terms of lightning starts. So if there is some gains to be made there, and it looks like Ducati are certainly trying, we'll have to see, like we said, at Qatar what comes out.
Yeah, completely agree. So on to the next sort of topic, that thing that Simon mentioned right at the end there about how ridiculously close it seemed already. 12 riders all within 1 second. And then you got that thing we also mentioned earlier. The oldest bikes on the grids now are going to be from last year. That's just a tantalizingly exciting prospect for the whole season. Like, it's just brilliant. Straight off Sepang test, 1 second, top 12. Excellent. First day one, and then day two threw up a couple of surprises. Marquez straightly, still with that injured shoulder, obviously. So many questions about him. Finished day one, top of the pile. I mean, that was ridiculously impressive. Then the second day looked like right at the end of it was going to be Alex Rins, who, by the way, until the third day was second both of the first days. First 2 days, my goodness. Let's try and make sure by the end of this podcast, end of the season, our English is a little bit better, eh? Maverick Vinales fastest on the second day, and of course then Petrucci blitzed them all by the end of play on day three.
So pretty impressive results really for all those guys on top, but especially Petrucci, obviously new to the factory team, although he did have that spec of bike, on a par with those guys. A little bit different last season when he was at Alma Pramac Racing. And then speaking of Alma Pramac Racing, they then got second and third. Impressive stuff from Jack Miller as well, but Pecco Bagnaia, rookie, 0.063, very fittingly, off the top. Absolutely incredible job from the Italian reigning Moto2 champion.
Yeah, we're going to hear more from him just in a little while. And his exact thoughts and just how he managed to do it. Quite some interesting comments. We're not going to be giving you the riders' debriefs from every single one in the top five or six. Some of them said some more, gave a little bit more detail than others. But up first, I think probably more fitting if we threw to Marquez, who by the end of the final day, he was 11th place, but a really long, arduous 3 days for him. There's no reading anything into that. He's just going to get fitter and fitter and stronger. He managed to last that entire last season with those shoulder issues and still won the championship. Let's just hear from Mark and we'll discuss a little bit after that.
I'm very happy because today, first day okay, but it was normal because I was fresh. Second day was much worse, the feeling on the shoulder. And this last day I was very, very happy. Very happy because I was riding, not in my riding style, but I was riding constant, fast, easy, and this was the most important. Important thing also that we didn't crash, we just tried to understand the things. We tried the most important things for Repsol on the team, and continue like this.
So what Mark is saying there, he's struggling a little bit with over race pace, with the strength in the shoulder. The key thing I've taken away from the things that Mark has said over all 3 days is that he's learning to listen to his body. He's also riding, and he's not riding in his usual manner, because that would just put too much stress in it, too much pain and whatnot. What a few days work for him, though, to start the season off with that recovery ongoing.
Yeah, definitely. I think on day two, he actually was not panicking, but actually pretty worried about how he'd felt after that. He'd done a lower lap load than he usually did last year, certainly during testing. Last year, he was routinely the guy putting in the most laps. Maverick Vinales often matched him, or almost, but it was usually 90, 100 laps a day of testing for Marquez last year. And he did sort of 30, 40 at a time in Sepang. But yeah, definitely, I think it's an interesting one, given that he didn't really say on day two much about how he was feeling. But then on day three, after he'd got back on the bike and it felt a little bit better than maybe he had been expecting, said, like, you know, a bit more open. Yeah, yesterday I was actually pretty worried because it didn't feel great. So it will be an interesting one, but it's quite a while still till Qatar and racing anyway.
Oh, precisely. Well, if there's also one thing we've learned about Marquez from this whole shoulder ordeal, is that if he don't want to give anything away, he's not going to give anything away. You're not going to know. I can't believe we got through a whole season nobody realizing that he had an issue with his shoulder until the moment he won the championship. Just it's a little bit of a comparison, like when we found out Lorenzo was moving to Repsol, and everyone went, "How did you keep it a secret?" And he just went, "If you don't want people to know something, don't tell people." And
I think that was one of the best one-liners of last season. Yeah, that from Lorenzo.
It was great.
How did you keep it a secret? Just didn't tell anyone. Definitely, it was really. I'm going to say impressive. Obviously, sometimes it is a bit of a worry, like, you know, be honest about injuries, make sure that you're okay enough to ride. But it was certainly impressive how he pushed on through that, managed to keep it together and wrapped up that record-breaking seventh title. So next we're going to move on and hear from Andrea Dovizioso, obviously runner-up last season and at fourth fastest overall, but never one to really blitz a lap in testing and show his hand. Really not at all until race day from the Italian. So still a very interesting quantity. So here we'll hear from Dovi.
The lap time of a lot of riders were really fast, under the record. So it was a nice feeling to see that number. I'm happy to see a lot of Ducati on front. This is important confirm. I'm happy about the lap time I did. I'm happy in the way we worked during these 3 days, because yesterday we did a good work. We tried everything we wanted, so happy about these 3 days. It's always very tough after 3 months in this condition in Malaysia track, so we're going home quite happy. It's difficult to improve the bike when the base is good. In the past, we have a lot of things to improve, so it was hard work, but it was a bit easier to improve the bike. So fortunately, it's difficult now because our base is good. But we improved something. I'm happy. I didn't expect to have a better feeling with the two pieces. So happy about that. But the engineer are working so hard, and I think we will have something more for the future.
Two pieces. Sorry, what was that, Dovi? You nearly just gave away there.
Pretty interesting. One of the most erudite and eloquent riders on the grid, even in a second language. And it sounds like a little bit like he was about to say exactly what they had been working on there.
I don't know.
So we'll have to try and push a little bit further in Qatar, although I'm sure as soon as anyone listens to this and hears that, he'll be on absolute red alert and not do it again. So a bit of a shame there. But now we have him talking about what there is to improve and if there is anything really where they still have to work for this season.
Always. It's normal. Yes, in the middle of the corners, I think still we miss something. But it's difficult during the test. I was focused to test by myself and with Danilo, so we didn't really rode with the other bike, so I don't know how much we really improved, but quite happy.
Yeah, really interesting points there from Dovi, I think, all the way through. That's why we put all of his main questions in there, to be honest. Moving on, next, I think we're going to hear from Valentino Rossi. Of course, everyone will know the stories and the trials, the troublesome year that Yamaha had last year. A big question on everyone's lips. Had they made the necessary improvements? Are they at least going in the right direction for 2019? So let's hear from the doctor now.
Is something I'm happy, half happy, because something work well and we improve our performance. Something else that we expect a lot, unfortunately, don't bring us what we need. Okay, so for me, it's good because as the first test we improve something, but we have a lot of work to do because the gap is was quite big. So we need time, but I'm happy about the atmosphere and especially about the ideas inside because looks like they in Yamaha they are very concentrated for improve and so this is important. Allora, is in the time attack the Ducati were impressive, yeah, and also we don't have Marquez because of the shoulder problem, so in the hot lap we suffer a little bit. About the pace, looks like we are a bit closer, but I'm quite worried still. So if we race tomorrow, I think that anyway we suffer because we have something else to improve. But as the first test is not so bad.
So that was Valentino Rossi there, seemingly upbeat. Key points I took away from those quotes is the atmosphere in Yamaha is feeling pretty good. Let's hear next from what is perhaps arguably a slightly more upbeat and optimistic Maverick Vinales. Take it away, Mav.
Well, really good. Actually, I missed one time attack in the morning that I planned to make in the afternoon, but finally in the afternoon was so hot that the tire was sliding a lot, so I could not improve the lap time from the morning. But anyway, I'm really happy because on the race simulation, I felt really good. Well, I get really tired, but anyway, I felt really good on the bike.
So yeah, it does sound like Maverick pretty happy after testing. And he was also talking about the engine, which Yamaha have only one. There's not much comparison work for those guys. But he said that their main focus on that engine was acceleration. Here's him talking about that a little bit.
I focus a lot to trying to improve the deceleration side, and we did it, so it's really important. I mean, in these 2 years, it's the first day that we go steps ahead, you know, day by day, and that's the most important, that day by day the bike was working pretty similar, and not as last year that was working good or bad, but these 3 days were working really good as in the last test.
And, of course, there was, in the first test of 2019, the first opportunity not to just ride your own bike, but to see how everybody else's is going. We saw the likes of Dovi and Petrucci following each other. And, of course, Maverick talking about following his teammate Rossi. So let's hear from that now as well.
For sure, you always get positive things because you see what the other is doing better or what you are doing better. So it was important to see also the bike, how it's working behind, you know, because I make some laps behind the Ducatis, I make some laps behind the Honda, so I can see how our bike is working. It's not bad, as I said, it's a small detail, so that's the most important. Last year they were some steps ahead, now we are getting closer.
So I thought it was really interesting to hear the slight contrast in tones between Maverick and Rossi. Maverick, straight off the bat, really positive in this, and Rossi's like, yeah, improvement, but...
Yeah, definitely. I think Maverick as well, one of the interesting things that he stressed was the consistency that he's managed to find over the 3 testing days at Sepang. That was a big issue they had last year. I think in Catalunya before as well, they had an absolute nightmare on race day. And then the Monday of the test with pretty similar conditions, they had no problems whatsoever. And he absolutely obliterated everyone. So I think that's definitely something that for Vinales, he just didn't really seem to get why there was such a big difference between a bike maybe on race day and then the following day in a test or even from day to day throughout a race weekend. So that consistency seems like a real positive point for him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one thing is for sure to take away from that is Yamaha seemed to be on the right path from the very first test in 2019. And next, we want to hear from Pecco Bagnaia, the rookie. So let's hear from Pecco now.
Just riding, because we make a really great work in these days. Then the first day till now, I understand a lot of things on the bike. Most of all, how to ride it, because it's a completely different riding style compared to Moto2. You have to pick up before the bike, before using more the traction of the bike. And was one of the experts that I was to understand. And it was possible. In the last day, today, I was riding like more a MotoGP rider. That was my goal. And my objective was beat the 2 minutes. And what I've done is very important for us, but we need to concentrate more on the pace for the race. That it was good, but we need to improve a little bit. For sure, in the braking now, I can brake very hard, and is in Jerez was difficult for me, but now has been one of my key for going for beating the 159. And nothing. For sure, we have to improve on the pace of the duration in the race, because I've seen that I don't use too much the tires, but in the race you never know. When you are with half second better in the pace, for sure you will use more the tires. But our objective will be in Qatar to understand how to be constant with a good grip.
I think it was great to see in the test Pecco and Jack both fighting each other for that sort of second position spot. I do wonder what the dynamic of that team is going to be like, because essentially that you never know what's going to happen. Those two can end up fighting for a factory Ducati position over this year or next season. It is literally all to play for between them two, and I'm really pleased that there's no real difference between their at least one-off lap times at the moment so far. Though a key takeaway from that, Pecco now knows how to go fast over one lap. The thing he wants to work on the most, though, is that race pace.
Yeah, definitely incredible to see him able to do that. And obviously, you know, if you qualify well, you can certainly play a part in a race, even if over maybe the last 10 laps you're not quite there. You can still have a really big say in the outcome of a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
So it should be an interesting one. And hopefully they've got the Qatar test now, another few days. And we should see the rookie making a few more steps forward on that race pace.
And that does lead us neatly on to Danilo Petrucci, the man who topped the Sepang test after day three. Let's hear what he has to say now.
A lot, but it counts very, very, very few. I'm happy, especially about yesterday, about the race simulation, about how we ride in the hot. And that was, I think, the mainly focus we had. Then we try some new things. Unfortunately, when I tried the new pairing, I crashed immediately at the fifth corner, and that was a shame. And I have some pain in my hand by the blister. So we decided that our work is done for today, for this test. We are happy, both for the pace, both for the lap time, even if, as I told you, it counts not so much.
That fairing that we said, he didn't spend very long on it. I think he crashed pretty quickly. But it was interesting. He says that Ducati haven't actually told him what he's supposed to get from it to see exactly what he thinks of the piece without any bias. Let's just hear a little clip about that now.
And also regarding the fairing, unfortunately, I destroyed it after 1 minute. And so they haven't told me what's the positive and negative things for not be too much focused on that point. But anyway, I will try in Qatar, hopefully for more laps.
So there you have it. That is from the horse's mouth himself. Although I guess that would probably be more appropriate if you're talking about Dovi, wouldn't it, actually, than Petrucci. So that is hearing all from those riders at the end of play on day three. Some really interesting comments from there. Can't wait to see them back out on track in a couple of weeks. But that is enough of me and Fran waffling about what we have seen at the Sepang test and what the riders have said. What are the thoughts of someone who is going to be in those races as we dive into 2019? Well, we have a little bit more of an extract from Jorge Lorenzo's After the Flag interview, and here is what the five-time world champion has thought of the Sepang test 2019.
we are living in a golden era because you know, races look spectacular and competition is closer than ever. So we can see the classification of this test. Yeah, it looks like Ducati take profit of all the power and all the good stability they have in this particular track. They finished fourth for Ducati in the first sport. That's a good signal for them, for sure. But, you know, pre-season is always pre-season, and one lap is only one lap. It's always more important things like the pace, the feeling and the comfortability that feels the rider when goes into a race pace. So we cannot take so many conclusions about that. But for sure, also, the Honda riders looks strong. Mark dominated the first day. Bradal and Nakagami don't look very far from the top guys, so that's a good signal in an always complicated track for us. That is always has been Sepang. So yeah, happy and with a lot of and looking forward to jump again to the Honda.
So that was Jorge Lorenzo's thoughts on the Sepang test. Obviously, sadly not there, but should be back on track at the Qatar test. So to see that full episode of After the Flag with Lorenzo's interview in it, head to MotoGP.com and search for that. And likewise for any content from Sepang, highlights, everything that's been happening throughout the test. And also, should be a pretty good campaign on there coming up with some interesting content as Valentino Rossi prepares to turn 40. So it should be a good week on the website. Make sure to head over to that.
Yeah, 46, turns 40 years old. How impressive. Well, if you guys want to get in touch with us here at the podcast, if you have any questions you want us answering or questions you want answering from anybody in the paddock, really, we will do our best to get your questions answered by anybody and featured here on the podcast. If you have any comments at all, use the hashtag MotoGP Podcast. And we should be able to get right on that in the coming episodes. Up next week, though, we will have our first feature episode on the MotoGP podcast.
We will indeed, and it will feature a ton of legends from the sport, talking about all different things. A lot on rivalries next week, so that should be pretty exciting. Obviously, Schwantz Rainey, absolute classic. A little bit from Casey Stoner, a little bit from Valentino Rossi. So plenty coming up in next week's episode, which will, like we say, be one of the feature episodes where you just hear from the legends of the sport, past and present. So I think that's everything from us this week. Hope you've enjoyed this. Keep in touch, use the hashtag MotoGP Podcast, and we'll do our best to either answer your question or track people down in the paddock who can find out that stuff for you.
Yep, we will see you next Thursday.